Hello and welcome to another episode of the Halloween Podcast. I am your host, Lyle Perez, and today I have Nick Bailey from the Fan Counters Podcast, so we can discuss a little Poltergeist, not the activity kind, but the movie 1982. Nick, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am sick, but I am here trucking along with these things. And because I got to do 31 shows for the month of October. So sick or not sick, I missed a couple of days, but I got to make all of those up and we'll be good.
I've been listening, and Halloween is it's my favorite time of year. It's my excuse to be able to watch scary movies all the time and have nobody think there's something wrong with me. So
people think there's something wrong with you for watching scary movies all the time? I don't know.
No, but I do have a fascination with some of them, and we're going to talk about one of those today.
Yes, we are going to talk about Poltergeist. Not necessarily, well, I guess we'll get into the movie, but more or less the curse that I am fascinated by, because I have heard a lot about this Poltergeist curse that some of the people have died that made the movie. Very suspiciously, you know, very suspicious deaths. There's been a lot of other stuff, but we will get into that because Nick seems like the guy who knows all about this stuff.
Well, I was only 4 years old when the movie came out, but I have watched this movie over 36 times probably. It's my favorite trilogy of horror, just behind, like, I love the Scream series, but still there's nothing like those 80s horror movies to get you freaked out, and this one kind of does for me. And I think it stands the test of time, because as I watch it as an adult, there are still things in the movies that creep me out, so...
Yeah, it always is. Just thinking about all of the stuff that happened in this movie, the kitchen scene where they had like, I think it was like an X or something, where the little girl sat on it and she got pushed forward.
Or the chairs that automatically get stacked
yes,
up.
Yes, they get stacked up on the corner. It's creepy stuff, but well, let's get into the movie a little bit.
Well, I was going to tell everybody, just because not everybody's seen it, that Poltergeist came out in 1982. It was written and produced by Steven Spielberg. Now, the film has a director titled by Toby Hooper. The film's directed by Toby Hooper. Got to get the name right. But the cast and crew insists that Steven Spielberg was really the person calling all the shots. Now, you'll see in a lot of interviews that Spielberg really denies this, because I don't think he wanted personal responsibility if this movie was... like cheesy or didn't do so well. He said he was too busy working on E.T. to be around, but everybody working on the film insists that Spielberg was calling all the shots. It's got a lot of famous people in it. Craig T. Nelson was in the movie, who also went on to have fame on Coach. Jo Beth Williams was a big Hollywood actress. And then the kids, who unfortunately met untimely death early, and even before these films were released. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But there is a sense that the film series has a curse on it. And now as we go through some of this stuff, you're going to think, well, that doesn't sound so suspicious. I'm going to leave the most suspicious things until the end. That way you stay listening.
Sounds good.
So the film is about a family's young daughter who's captured by a poltergeist. She's taken to the other side to help the dead pass through the light. So let's start with the very first death. An actress, Dominique Dunn, plays the older daughter in the film. Her name's Dana in the movie. She ends up dying at age 22, 4 days after she was choked into a coma by her then boyfriend. Now, Dominique was living with a boyfriend named John Sweeney. Sweeney was working in Los Angeles. He was a chef in the area. And the relationship wasn't going well because John was very abusive to her. Dominique Dunn kicked John out of their shared residence. And on October 30th of 1982, John comes back pleading with her to take him back. Now, Dominique's got another guy there that's just a friend helping her with whatever, running lines, I believe. And as you can imagine, John got really upset about that. Dominique told him that he wasn't going to get her back. She was done. So in a fit of rage, John ends up strangling her for what was later determined to be about 4 to 6 minutes, left her for dead in the driveway. Pretty horrible end.
Yes.
And that was just after Poltergeist 1 was released.
It's crazy boyfriends.
I know, right? Now, John ends up being convicted of voluntary manslaughter. He's sentenced to 6.5 years in jail, but only serves under 4 years for that. And I think these days, that sentence would have been much stricter, don't you?
Right, a harsher type sentence. I mean, she ultimately died because of, you know, his, what he did to her. So obviously, yeah, murder charge.
Yep. So jumping ahead to 1986, they released the movie Poltergeist 2. One thing to notice about that is they don't replace the older daughter, Dana, following Dominique Dunn's death. So the family of five is now a family of four. And they don't even mention the fact that she's not there. There's no reference to the older daughter or what happened to her. Rumor has it that they were going to have a scene where they mentioned that she goes off to college and that's why she's not there, but it never got filmed. There's no mention of Dana in the second film.
At
which
all.
Is
that's
interesting.
That's crazy to even think about. They should have just put in, we're getting a call from, Dana later, or she's off to college. It's just something, one small line, and it probably would have been fine.
Yeah, even something to just have them remember her by, something, but nothing was done. But they did bring on one of the most scariest characters of the series, one that is the one that is freaking me out the most. His name was Kane, and Kane was the one behind the poltergeist who kept Carol Ann, who was played by Heather O'Rourke. Kane was played by Julian Beck. He never got to see the film once it was released. The film was released in 1986. Julian Beck died in September of 1985. He died of stomach cancer. Now, his death was a little bit more expected because he'd already been fighting the cancer for over 18 months. But still, another actor who didn't get to see a final product of the film.
Yep, there's two of them already. Oh, well, that one, I could understand. If he was already sick, then it wasn't untimely, not unexpected.
Exactly. And they did a really good job aging him up, because he was only in his 60s when he died, but he definitely looked late 80s in that movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Very creepy. Also in Poltergeist 2, we're introduced to the character of Taylor. Now, he was played by a guy named Will Sampson. Taylor is a Native American psychiatric patient in the film, and he works to try and help rescue Carol Ann from Kane. A year after that film's release, so we're talking 1987, he ends up dying after receiving a heart and lung transplant. Now, his cause of death is listed as severe preoperative malnutrition and postoperative kidney failure, and also fungal infection. So according to reports, he knew going into the surgery that he had a weakened condition and his chances of survival was slim. Well, it was none. He ended up passing away after that surgery. So that is another death. Now we're on three of the Poltergeist series.
Yeah, three of them.
Now, do you remember the little old woman who was in all three of the Poltergeist movies?
Oh, yes. Who can forget?
Zelda Rubinstein played Tangina Behrens. And yeah, she had that creepy voice.
Oh, boy.
The, awkward personality of and presence. Very small lady. She freaked me out. She ends up dying at the age of 76 of natural causes back in 2010. Now, her death is not really associated with the curse that causes unexpected premature death, but just somebody to note. Another creepy reason to watch those movies is to see Zelda in action.
Yeah, she was only 4'3". She was really
small. Is that right?
4'3". Yeah, Heather O'Rourke was 4'8", so the little girl was about 5 inches taller than she was.
That's funny. So the director of Poltergeist 2, Brian Gibson, did follow the premature and unexpected death. He passed away in 2004 due to a disease called Ewing's sarcoma. Now, he was only 59 years old. I didn't know what Ewing's sarcoma was, but it's a very rare type of cancer. It mostly affects children and young adults between 10 and 20, affecting about 200 kids each year, but it's curable if it's caught early. This type of cancer causes a tumor to grow inside or around the bones. but he was affected very late in life, which is a pretty rare thing to continue this poltergeist curse. He died at 59.
That seems like something that gets you at the end.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to live when tumors are squishing your bones.
Yes.
Sounds like a painful death, too. But yeah, so that's another one. There's more suspicious deaths with this movie. Lou Perryman, who had a small role in Poltergeist 1. Now, if you remember, there was a scene in the movie where Craig T. Nelson brings his friends over to watch football, and the TV channel keeps changing every time there's a big play that's happening and puts on Mr. Rogers. Well, yes. Lou Perryman was one of those construction workers who were trying to watch football. And in 2009, Lou was also murdered with an axe in his own home.
Oh, boy.
There was a guy named Seth Christopher Tatum. He was on the run from police when he entered Lou's home. He attacked him because he needed his car and some other items from the house. And he ended up dying from those injuries. So.
Wow. That's just a scary one right there. That's
horrific. That's one that almost could happen to anybody, you know?
Yeah.
You never want to have somebody terrorize you in your own home.
Never, but, I mean, it does happen. My wife likes to watch those criminal shows, the, what is it called, ID channel or something like that.
And right, where they do the true crime stuff.
Yeah, she watches that all day, and I'm just like, oh, man, I don't even want to think about these things. But, yeah,
there's that movie about the home invasion, and now the name is going to escape me. They just did a sequel to it. It'll come to me. But anyway, it's all those movies that really scare you because you really think that they could happen to you. It's real stuff.
Yeah, was it called Home Invasion?
No, it was. You know, I could get up and look at my movie rack, which is sitting right across from me, but I won't do that because dead air is not fun to listen to.
No, it's not fun.
But I'll try and think of what it is.
All right.
There's an actor in the original Poltergeist movie. His name's Richard Lawson. Richard is still actually alive and well. But in 1992, he ends up boarding a flight to Cleveland. And after being recognized by a flight attendant, they moved him to first class. Shortly after takeoff, this plane with 51 passengers ends up crashing into nearby water and trapped people in their seats. 27 of the 51 passengers died, including someone that was in Lawson's original assigned row.
Oh, man.
So he escaped death.
Yes. Guardian angel. I've seen numerous short stories and things of that same premise. Lady moves him to a different seat, and then everyone in the plane dies, including the person that was in that seat, and they're still alive.
That's a very Final Destination-ish.
Very, very, very.
So let's talk about that on-set accident. Oliver Robbins played the little boy in the film, the family son, Robbie. And do you remember that clown that's prominently displayed in the kid's room?
Who can forget?
Yes. So there's a scene where he's supposed to be struggling with this mechanical clown. Well, it actually malfunctions while they're filming, and it starts actually choking him. And because the scene was meant to show a struggle, a lot of the cast members just thought that he was acting. So nobody came to help him. And it wasn't until he was turning blue that somebody actually stepped in and got this thing off of him. But how freaky. You know you're struggling and no one's coming to help.
Isn't there like a rule now that they have to do a certain type of like a warning in case something really is happening, that it's predetermined? If I start doing this, it means that I'm really in trouble, so step in. I would think they would start doing that by now.
Oh, I'm sure they do now.
Like, blink your eyes rapidly if something's really happening or something.
Or just yell the director's name. Hey, Bob, stop!
Stop.
So one of the reasons given for the alleged curse is due to the skeletons that were used while filming. So the story goes that real cadavers were cheaper to purchase for use in film than to build fake ones. Real or not, the before-mentioned Will Sampson did do an exorcism on Poltergeist 1's set to get rid of the nervous feeling that the cast had. Jo Beth Williams reports that she had some weird things happen to her at her house when she was filming. She noticed that pictures were crooked when she got home. She would fix them, only to wake up the next day and have the pictures be crooked again. So that's the story, that scene when Jo Beth Williams is in that mud pit and she's got all these dead bodies popping up at her, that those are real skeletons of people.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that creepy to think about? I don't think that they would even get away with something like that these days.
Probably not filming here in America, but maybe if they were filming somewhere else, they would probably get away with it. But no, definitely not here.
No, absolutely not. So, yeah, that's kind of creepy.
It's very creepy. I wouldn't want to be in there. No, no way.
Yeah. So let's talk about the one person that we haven't mentioned yet, Heather O'Rourke. Heather dies at the age of 12 years old. Cardiac arrest with septic shock caused by a misdiagnosed intestinal stenosis. Basically, her intestines were backed up, that she was very sick, very ill. They tried to do surgery to correct it, and she dies in surgery. Her symptoms were flu-like, so her mom didn't immediately treat her. So why is this death the most curious thing among them all? Well, for starters, she was just 12 when she passed away. She was a talented actress. She wanted to be a director one day. She had already starred in all three Poltergeist movies. She guest starred on Happy Days, Webster, Chips, and the new Leave It to Beaver. And she also starred alongside Maury Amsterdam in a special for Disneyland. Now, Heather became ill with, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, but giardiasis. This is known as what's called beaver fever. It's a parasitic disease that spreads when basically feces contaminates food or water that's then eaten or drank. It can be easily happen to somebody who is visiting developing world countries, changing diapers and not washing hands, or eating food without cooking it. Even they say owning a dog could give you this disease. So the story goes that she ended up picking up this parasitic thing from drinking water in a campground. So this was early 1987, and she was prescribed a steroid to treat the disease during the time that she was filming Poltergeist 3. So if you remember in that film, her cheeks were really chubby in that film, and that was because of the reaction that she had with the medicine.
Oh, wow.
So on January 31st of 1988, Heather claims she didn't feel good, so she crawled in bed with her parents. Then she starts vomiting, so her mom gives her some Gatorade to soothe her stomach. The next morning, she still doesn't feel good, so her mom tries to get her to eat some toast, but Heather says she can't swallow. So as her mom starts to call the doctor, she ends up collapsing, passes out. So upon loading Heather into the ambulance, Heather's mom tells her, "I love you." Heather says, "I love you too." Some of her last words. Because Heather suffers cardiac arrest while she's en route to the hospital. She ends up being revived, and it takes about 8 minutes to get to the hospital, where they determine she really needs to be flown to Children's Hospital in San Diego. So at this time, her parents are informed she may have suffered brain damage because her pupils were fixed and dilated. The doctors suspected at the time a bowel obstruction, so they rush her into surgery, and she dies later that day after surgery to repair an acute bowel obstruction caused by that congenital stenosis. So congenital would mean she was born with it, complicated by septic shock. The death in itself is a little weird because there's a lot of stories about maybe that it's weird that congenital thing hadn't been caught, because she would have had some symptoms between the time that she was born and 12 years old that they maybe would have figured this out. But it just seems weird that suddenly became an issue for her at the age of 12. And it's not something that popped up between birth and then.
Right. That is very strange that something like that would happen. But, I mean, this was, what, 80s? Medical stuff wasn't really as good as what we got now. I mean, probably it would have caught it if she was alive now. Could have been, 30 years later? So, I mean, it is very sad to hear this type of stuff that happens. I do have a little girl who is going on 11, so this type of stuff kind of freaks me out. I mean, I've always been very, I guess, overprotective of my children, because I have had deaths in my life that have been, you know, little kids. I believe I was in kindergarten. One of my friends, he passed away. They didn't tell us the whole story. The only thing I could really remember was that he had high fevers. And then he died from fevers. So now every time my kids have fevers, I'm like, oh, I got to take these dang kids to the hospital. There's no way I'm going to lose them. And if I was her father, the second she would have thrown up, she would have been at the hospital immediately. I wouldn't have tried to soothe her at the house. If it was something minor, yeah, be like, yeah, sure, stay here, I'll take care of you. But no, for anything like that, if anything starts coming up, if, you know, fevers happen, anything like that, just straight to the hospital. There's no way I'm messing with that.
Right. Especially since she already had had recently an interaction with something that gave her the fact that she needed to take steroids. So,
yeah, so, I don't know.
Now, here's where the poltergeist curse really comes into play. And I would just talk to you about Heather's death. But this is a precursor to something that was in Poltergeist 1. In the kid's bedroom, there's a lot of posters on the wall. There is a poster of Alien, Star Wars. There's some other Steven Spielberg posters in there. But there's a Super Bowl poster in the room. Did you notice this, or do you know about this?
I have not heard about this one.
Well, this is funny because this film was released the summer of 1982, which was the year of the 16th annual Super Bowl. But the poster of the Super Bowl is not advertising the 1982 Super Bowl. It is advertising Super Bowl XVI. I'm sorry. I goofed that up. Are you going to edit this out?
I can edit it. Just start from wherever you want to again, and then I'll cut that piece right off.
So sorry.
No worries.
The poster in her room is not of the 1982 Super Bowl. It's not advertising the Super Bowl that was that year, which was XVI. It's advertising Super Bowl XXII. That is a poster for the 1988 Super Bowl, which at the time was 6 years away. So that's pretty odd. Mm-hmm. Why would a 1982 movie feature a prop poster for the 1988 Super Bowl? But this is where this stops being strange and starts being creepy, because that Super Bowl took place on January 31st, 1988, 6 years after the release of Poltergeist, and the very same day that Heather O'Rourke fell ill. That was the day that she began vomiting and couldn't keep food down. The next morning, she collapses and dies. That is so weird that there's a Super Bowl poster for a game that happens the day she gets ill and dies the next day.
Wow.
That is so creepy.
It is very creepy. Coincidence? Maybe. Creepy? Yeah, I think so.
Now, there's no explanation, and I couldn't find anywhere in my searching of an explanation of why this poster is, but I had seen screen grabs of it online, and I thought, I can't take that for truth. So I went to the movie myself, and I have pictures of my screen that I took that is the truth. The poster is of the 1988 Super Bowl. It's so weird.
Yeah, it is very weird, but I do want to know why they did that, if we can find out. Yeah, and that Super Bowl was... Oh, go ahead.
I think I have a way for you to find out.
Oh.
In your audience, too. Now, this is a little bit of self-promotion, so I hope it's okay. But in November, on Fan Counters, I'm going to be joined by Tammy O'Rourke, who's Heather's sister. It took me a month to track her down and try and find her, but I did find her. And Tammy is going to be on my show in November, and I'm going to ask her about that poster. The other weird thing I have to ask her about, if you look online, there is a picture of Heather in her casket, and she's got a picture of somebody in her hands that it's a big dark hair, kind of like an afro. So I'm also interested to find out who that picture is. So there's a lot of answers that I'm going to be looking for when I talk to Tammy about various things that happened in the Poltergeist movies, and kind of hear her side from watching her sister go through all this stuff.
Was this her older sister or younger sister?
Older sister.
Okay.
In fact, Heather was discovered in a cafeteria on a studio lot when her sister was filming another movie. So that's when Steven Spielberg saw her and approached her and asked if she had ever been in movies before. And she said, no, but my sister's in one right now. And that's how things kind of got rolling.
Well, I can't wait for that one. We will plug it again later so you guys can go check it out when it's released.
Yeah. So that's kind of a little bit about the Poltergeist thing. The last thing I want to mention is something that's really weird. You know, Henry Winkler played Fonzie on Happy Days.
Of course.
There's an interview that kind of stands alone because it's not referred to anywhere else online. I haven't found any comments about why Henry said what he did. But Henry Winkler in this was promoting a Happy Days episode and said that Heather was abused by her dad and was such an unhappy child that she plucked out her eyebrows and committed suicide. Which seems ridiculous, because she died of a medical procedure. Yet, this interview is online, if you YouTube it, of him saying that she committed suicide. And that the medical diagnosis was a cover-up. So, it's like so weird, all these things that come together that are just really sort of bizarre. So, I'm hoping that we can answer some of these questions soon.
Yeah, that sounds good. Hopefully, hopefully she is very talkative and is very open about this stuff. And she doesn't just say, you know what, you asked the wrong question. See you later.
Yeah, goodbye. That would be a terrible interview.
It would. We're hyping it up. But yeah, no, I'm pretty sure she'll be fine. This is what, 30 years ago? She'll be
right,
more than
exactly.
happy to
talk. It's old news now. But I mean, you know, you get you get time for these things to settle in your head. And you don't have to. The emotion has sort of dissipated a little bit. You're always going to miss people who have passed away, but as time goes on, it gets easier and easier to talk about it.
Yeah, and the weird thing is that this Brady's Children's Hospital, I'm pretty sure, is the same one that operated on my daughter. It's the same exact one.
You're kidding.
Nope.
In San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego. She broke her arm. I'd say probably like, I don't know, almost a year ago. My little girl, she's two. And they had to, we had to take her to the hospital, and then from the hospital they told us, no, you got to take her to Brady's in San Diego for to, you know, have the specialist look at her and see about surgery and all that stuff. But yeah, now that I saw that and I saw where it was, I was like, oh yeah, that's the same exact place that we took my daughter.
Huh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and she lives in at the time she lived in Lakeside. I have a lot of family that lives in Lakeside.
Huh. Very, is that far from San Diego? I'm not familiar with the distance.
It is very close. It's east of San Diego. So you would have to go inland from San Diego. It's not that far. Maybe about 10, 15 minutes away, depending on what part of San Diego you're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that far. Literally, it's about a 20-minute drive from where I am right now to get to the Brady's Hospital. It's not that far.
Interesting. Now, I can tell you a couple things. Heather O'Rourke is buried in the same cemetery as Dominique Dunn. And in Poltergeist 3, there's a little conspiracy about that movie as well. It was said that that film ended up finishing while Heather was still alive. But Steven Spielberg has said that the film wasn't finished yet and that they were going to be filming scenes the next year to finish up, that they had to take a hiatus for... There was a reason, I forget what it was, but that they hadn't filmed the actual ending. So nobody was happy with the ending that they had because they had to piece it together. Now, the cast says that that was all that they filmed was what they intended to film. So there's some weirdness there. They did use a body double for Heather. The last shot of the film, you'd never see Heather's face because that's the body double that's being held. They like pick her up as she comes out of the puddle or something. And then Kane starts laughing again as if he's going to return for Poltergeist 4, which obviously that doesn't happen. So that's an interesting piece. And then the last thing, we started this interview talking about that creepy scene in the kitchen in Poltergeist 1,
right,
where the chairs all of a sudden stack. What's interesting about that shot in particular is that was a single camera movement shot. So they showed the table, you know, the chairs at the table. They go to some other action, and it's basically two pans. They pan left and then they pan right, and the chairs are back in that pyramid formation. Well, they had a pyramid formation table that they just swung in and swung out so that it could be a continuous shot, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
So obviously they had to edit out some sound, but as far as the camera movement goes, that was all done in one quick movement.
Oh, nice.
I'm a filmmaker as well, so I always get interested when I start seeing how these things were put together. Then I could read that stuff for days. And a lot of things, it's like, how do they film that, you know? Especially back in 1982.
A lot of camera work, a lot of practical effects, I would think.
Yes.
That's always good. Do you know what happened to any of these props from Poltergeist? Like where that mysterious poster is now?
that would be interesting to find out. Or even the clown. I mean, some of these things, I don't know where the, you know, and a lot of times they get rid of this stuff quickly after the production to be used in other things, or I would assume the actors have some stuff. I'm not sure. It is funny though that the O'Rourke family did auction off some stuff on eBay to raise money for whatever. And so people started acquiring personal belongings of Heather. One of them was a Cabbage Patch doll. And they had haunted things happened to them because of this Cabbage Patch doll.
Oh, wow.
And then once they had this thing blessed and put in a glass case, then all the weird stuff stopped happening. But, you know, it's like all the stuff together, something was going on with this movie, particular movie and topic. And, you know, whether you want to think that all these things are not related, that's fine. But some of us do believe that karma has followed some of the people and things involved in this movie.
Well, what do you think is actually, let's say that it is it's a curse. What do you think caused the curse? You think it was maybe the bodies? Was it the story itself? What do you think caused it?
Well, I don't know, because I'm still up in the air about, do I believe in the supernatural? You know, can dead people communicate with people that are still living? You know, those are all things that I'm just not sure about. I've never had an experience like that before, so I can't be persuaded that that's definitely a thing. But if it is a thing, and they didn't portray a poltergeist or a spirit in a favorable manner, maybe that was setting something off. But then you look at movies like The Conjuring, which is another one that I, as an adult, am scared to, you know, get scared to watch. Why wouldn't that one have done the same thing? So maybe it's all story. Maybe it's a lot of random occurrences put together to create something.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Who knows? But this is the Halloween podcast, so
it will always be a mystery.
I would say, yeah, I don't know, because I do a Halloween podcast, but I don't believe in a lot of this stuff. Why I don't believe in it is because it's not something that has ever happened to me personally. Like, people would say, yeah, it's because you've never been ghost hunting, you've never been in haunted houses, and I tell them, trust me, I've been in my fair share of supposed haunted houses, I've been in my fair share of creepy places I'm not supposed to be, where people get feelings, I don't feel anything, and I'm just like, it's not that I've never gone searching for it, because trust me, I have. I spent 10 years of my life going to haunted houses, going to places that were supposedly haunted, staying at overnights in haunted hotels, in the most haunted, you know, room that the hotel has to offer. And I've never seen anything. Maybe it's because I want to kind of give a yes or no, but nothing has ever happened. I mean, I stayed in Gettysburg. My ex-girlfriend at the time, she was all every single crack, every single noise that happened in that room, it was an automatic ghost. And I'm just like, okay, just calm down, go to sleep. I'm gonna go to sleep. You do whatever you want. And yeah, nothing happened. Even when we went to that prison, that supposedly haunted prison, we stayed there the whole night basically, and not a single thing happened other than other, you know, kids running around with their flashlights when they're not supposed to. But other than that, nothing happens. So we have a lot of haunted places here. We have the Whaley House here in San Diego. That's not too far. We have the Queen Mary. That's not too far either. And I've been. Have I seen anything? No. Have I felt anything by going in there other than just my own personal, yeah, this place is supposed to be haunted? That's about the only feeling I have. But yeah, I mean, same boat as you. I need to see it.
And I've tried to see it. I was working on a TV pilot when I lived in Maryland. It was called Teen Paranormals. So we had these teen mediums that were supposedly able to communicate with the spirits. So we went to the farm, where John Wilkes Booth was killed and arrested, killed. And supposedly there were a lot of soldiers hanging around this property. And so as we're doing this pilot, filming, these teen mediums are saying, oh, there's lots of soldiers here and I'm going to help them cross over. And we get done with this whole experience of them, you know, doing their shtick. And they're like, yeah, I helped two of them cross over and they're really happy about it and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I was running one of the cameras and I saw nothing. I felt nothing. You know, it was just, it was dark and that was it, you know. So like you said, I haven't experienced anything at all. But it's really funny, and it's sort of timely. The Dodgers were recently in Milwaukee to play the Brewers for the championship series. And the Dodgers are one of two teams that refuse to stay at the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee because of the ghosts that are roaming the building. And so many of their former players have said they experienced things that the team doesn't even stay there anymore. So, but wow. Again, I've spent time at the Pfister, and I've never had an encounter. So
that's how it always works out. Don't get me started on mediums, because that's a whole other topic. But I mean, I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying I've never seen it. So until I could actually see it, I will say maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
I'm with you on that. I don't know. I'm not going to admit to anything. No.
But do we have anything else on the Poltergeist Curse that you want to discuss?
That's all I've got. That's what I prepared for you for today. And I don't know. It's just a series that is always intriguing because you know the history of these people and their demise. And the storyline itself is really kind of spooky. You definitely don't want to have that happen at your house.
Oh, not at all. But I've never seen any of the other ones other than the first one. So I should probably go back and really take a look at all of them.
The third was my favorite, though, because they did a lot of play with mirrors in that one. It was fabulous. It was really good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out. How many did they do? They did...
Three,
okay.
Yeah, and the third one they filmed in Chicago, which was kind of cool because they used the skyline, and it was just a neat setting for it. I did think of the movie, by the way, the one that we were talking about, scary things because you feel like it could happen to you. The movie was The Strangers.
Oh, The Strangers.
Just for the sequel. But those are movies that you're like, oh my gosh, that really could happen to me.
It could.
So, well, thanks so much for having me on the show this week.
No problem.
I really appreciate it.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about your show again?
Oh, sure. So I host the Fan Counters podcast, and every week we get a different celebrity to join us to talk about their career and their most memorable fan experiences. So we made up our own word and call it Fan Counters for Fan Encounters. And we've had some really awesome guests. And this month, we've got some like Tammy O'Rourke that you wouldn't think of like, oh, she's not really a celebrity. No, but man, the stories that they will be able to tell should be very intriguing. So yeah, check it out. We're on all the podcasting platforms and our website's fancounters.com. We're on Twitter at FanCountersLive.
Oh, awesome. Well, Nick, thank you so much for coming on to the show, even though I tried to be more talkative, but man, this cough is not going away.
Well, I feel for you. I mean, we did go through, like, I think we were supposed to do this yesterday, and it didn't work out, but when you're sick and you can't even, like, form sentences without, like, having that tickle in your throat, that's no time to be recording, so I don't hold it against you at all.
No, but I am here because I got to truck along to continue with all of these shows for all of the listeners who download.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. I really do appreciate being here.
No problem. Thank you so much. And you guys, the listeners, if you would like to send any questions, comments, or want to suggest anything for a future show, you can go ahead and send those to thehalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. You could also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/thehalloweenpodcast. We're on Twitter at thehalloweenpod. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do it a couple of different ways. You can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Those do help. You could also go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/thehalloweenpod. So that's going to do it for me and Nick, and I will see you guys again next time for another episode. Have a good night.